I would also like to greet each one of you in the precious name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's because of Him that we have purpose. It's because of Him that life is worth living. I feel like I've been gone a long time. We were gone last weekend. We took in some counselor training sessions up at Life Ministries in Conestoga, Pennsylvania, and had a great time up there and just interacting with the people. But I missed being here with y'all also. So I'm glad to be here this morning and looking forward to see what God has in store for us through His Word, through His message to each one of us. Two Sundays ago, I shared a message. Does anyone remember what the title of it was? Jay, I guess I'll let you off the hook. You weren't here. Living in the Shepherd's Care, or in the Shepherd's Care. This morning, I want to share a message, caring for the flock. And I want to share a message that kind of tells y'all where I'm at and what I feel God is calling me to as a leader. What God is calling me to do in taking care of those in the flock, those of you here at Shiloh. Before I go into that, I just want to kind of recap what we shared the other week. And simply to do that, I want to read a passage that's very familiar to every one of us. Psalms 23. I want you to listen as I read this. Don't even turn to it, just listen. Think about what all is in this passage that is not about you. Think about what is in this passage that is about somebody greater than you, and that is God. Psalms 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides my paths of He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Who of us in here this morning does not have reason to speak up when we're given the opportunity to say what we're thankful for? And that is for the salvation that God has given us, and for the precious gift of this shepherd that He has given us. And He will lead us. He will walk ahead of us. But you know, when He leads us, He doesn't have a rope around our neck. And you know, if someone doesn't have somebody following them, they're not a leader. So in order for Christ to be a leader, there has to be followers. And a follower, in this case, is someone who does it willingly. And I was blessed with a thought this past week. Diane and I were talking about it. It came up in one of her classes up there in Pennsylvania. And that is in this verse where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." When we think of that, it's always sort of dismal. It's always kind of depressing. I don't want to go through that valley of the shadow of death. It sounds morbid. It sounds makes you want to cry. But I was blessed with a thought that it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What if it would say, Yea, though I walk through the darkness of death. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what causes a shadow? What creates a shadow? Is it not light? If there's no light around, you cannot create a shadow. So what blessed me was in this whole idea that when we're down in this valley, we're way down and we're about as low as we can get. It's way up there to get out of this valley. It's steep. It's hard. And I think there's no one who cares. There's nothing that I have to live for. But I look and I see a shadow. There's light still beaming down on you, but there's just something that's kind of blocking the light. But the light is still overflowing. That's who God is to us. He's not going to take us in the darkness of death. He'll take us through the valley of the shadow of death. And when I thought of that, I'm okay with that. Because that means His presence is still right there with us. Because we can look out and we can see the light beyond us, beyond our shadow. We can see the light. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 6, as you noticed, I didn't read it. This verse, brothers and sisters, this morning does not apply to you. If you're not willing to follow this one who is willing to lead. When it says that He makes you to lie down in green pastures, He doesn't make you lie down in the green pastures in the sense that He grabs a hold of you like you might do your small child and lay them down on the bed and say, you will take a nap. You will lay down. You will not get up. If you get up, there will be serious consequences. This is not what it's talking about that our Master is doing. But He's simply bringing us to this area and He's inviting us to lay down. He's inviting us to rest. And if you're not willing to do those things this morning, if you're not willing to allow Him to restore your soul, if you're not willing to allow Him to lead you in the paths of righteousness, if you're still trying to take your own way, verse 6 is not for you. Verse 6 goes like this. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We cannot have the goodness and the mercy and the blessings of God on our life if we're not willing to allow Him to lead, as we read in the first 5 verses of that very, very familiar passage. But what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to our God in prayer. This morning I want to share what it is that the shepherd's role is in the church. And when I say a shepherd's role in the church, I'm saying the under-shepherd. That's what we would be called as leaders in a church. We're serving the chief shepherd. We're simply doing what He bids us to do as we lead. And I want to read out of Acts chapter 20, take several verses from there this morning. But Paul in his scripture, he was speaking to the church leaders. He was speaking to the Ephesian church leaders. And in the first part of this where I'm reading in verse 20, he's stating his thoughts and his commitment that he personally made to the church, to God's church. And this is just before his departure. And it's a time that it's sad. Maybe it's one of those valleys of the shadow that they're going through, because they experienced highs with Paul being there and instructing them and teaching them. And now he was leaving. And as I go through this several verses this morning, I don't know that I can say, I know I can't say, that I have done what Paul was proclaiming here that he had done, in the way he lived his life and in the way he proclaimed the message of the gospel. What a challenge he is to each one of our lives as we study and we see the dramatic change that happened from Paul, from Saul to Paul. Acts chapter 20, verse 20. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. Look what he says in verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And in Philippians, Paul also says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There was nothing these people could do to Paul as they tried to persecute him. There was nothing they could do to deter him, to make him quit, because his life is nothing on this earth except that he could proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his mission. That was his goal as he lived out, as he fleshed out his life on a daily basis. But he said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is even better. So you could not threaten him with death and get anywhere with it. That's a hard, hard way to try to deal with someone, if you can't get to them by threatening their life. But Paul was so committed and was so believing in his God that he was going to take care of him no matter what. Verse 25 says, and now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Can you just imagine the scene that's going on as Paul is sharing this? Put yourself in that position. To think of saying goodbyes, as hard as the goodbyes are, when someone goes out on the mission field, when Les and Tanya, when they leave from us here as a church, when they leave from their family, the ties, they're there, and it hurts. There's sorrow, there's crying, because they're going a long ways off. Tommy and Jolene, they're going away from us. But yet, we have the hope of seeing them again. But back here, it wasn't that easy in Paul's time. In the early missionary days of some of the early missionaries, way back when they left, it was for good. Some of them were known to actually make a box to take all their belongings with them. And that box would also serve as their coffin. They were taking a one-way trip. And so therefore, this scene that I'm describing to you here this morning was a somber, it was a sober knowing that they were not going to see their friend, their instructor, their guide anymore. But backing up a little bit, Paul, he's willing to face whatever it is. Without fear? I don't know. I'm sure he had a certain amount of fear because he was a man. And as human creatures, we crave every last breath that we can. That's just how we are. But as I read this, I think, what is my mission in life? What is my goal? And that's where I come to you this morning and I say, I want to be here for each one of you as the flock of God. First of all, Christ is this chief shepherd. He's the one that is the God of all comfort. But our goal here as leadership is to help each one of you to maintain and to draw closer to our chief shepherd. Even to the point sometimes of being misunderstood. But our goal and our desire is to lead. Our goal and our desire is not to drive. Verse 28 here in Acts chapter 20. Now he's talking specifically, I believe, to church leaders. And I was so blessed this morning sitting in a Sunday school class, the lesson that we had. And last night looking over the Sunday school lesson, it was like, wow. I didn't know that that was even what the lesson was on. But I think God knew, don't you think? And how this all just tied in together. Verse 28 says, keep watch over yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. A couple things I want you to note in this verse. It says, be shepherds of the church of God. This church here this morning at Shiloh, it's not Gary's church, it's not Elvin's church, it's not Jerry's church, nor is it Dwayne's church, but it is the church of God. Simply what God has done as he has put us in place to oversee and to feed the flock and to lead and to help each one to go on to greater depths in their walk with Christ. I count it a duty. I count it a responsibility to look out for each one of you. And I feel that God very much has called me to look out for the flock that's here at Shiloh. And then as there's time to let that branch on out. But namely, the flock here at Shiloh is who God has called me to be overseer, to be shepherd of. There's a friend of mine who's a preacher, shared with me here a while back of a story of a man who came into their church and had started attending. And after a while, something came up that he did that was very despicable. I won't even go into detail what the issue was. But it was a very clear violation of Christianity, for sure, where they stood at as a church. After this happened, this brother got together a men's meeting with all the members all the men members of their church, he sat them down. And he went over what happened. He went over what happened in this incident. Just to give warning, to put the men of the church on the alert. And he told me this story, I don't know, it was several weeks later. And as he was telling me the story, he went on to say, Jerry, I don't know. I'm really feeling bad about this because I feel like I should have went back, first of all, before I got the men of the church together. I should have went to this man first and addressed it with him, this issue. Because he said, I feel like I went to the men of the church and this man over here, I didn't say anything to him first. And it was like a light came on in my head. It had to be God. It wasn't me. And that's sort of where this whole idea of speaking on the shepherd's care was birthed from, was through this conversation. But it felt very clear to me that God wanted me to ask this brother one thing. And that was, what are you in your church? What have you been called to in your group? And the answer was, a shepherd. Yeah. What does a shepherd do? What is a shepherd's responsibility? It's to take care of his sheep. Yeah. So his responsibility was to take care of the flock that was in his charge. Yeah, there's maybe things out here, and there's maybe things over here, and there's things in the next town, and in the next state, in the next country, that we might should do or we might would want to do. But for sure, as leaders, we're called to our group, to our flock. And I said, you are responsible to take care of those in your sheepfold. That is your number one priority. And when I said that, it was almost like it wilted him. And he just looked at me and said, Jerry, I needed that. Because he was having these, I say, false guilt pains for not having went back to this other man first. And I think so often, brothers and sisters, I have failed in taking care of the flock here. There's so many other things out in the world that we could look at. There's so many other issues that we could try to fix. And it's not saying that those aren't issues. Those aren't things that need to be addressed. But I want to tell you this morning that my commitment is to y'all for the strength of the flock. To guard the gate, to guard the walls. And if that even means that someone is going to be offended that tries to come in across the wall or tries to sneak in through the gate and we stop them, I guess that's just the way it's going to have to be. But by God's grace, I want to be here for you, my people. Verse 29, he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. What a horrible picture. Because we know what a wolf is. We know what a sheep looks like. And you can imagine a wolf getting a hold of a sheep with their white wool. It's a terrible picture. And Paul here says that I know that this is going to happen. And there's going to be consequences. There'll be those in this flock that are going to be hurt maybe even killed. And then verse 30 is the one that really grieves me. It says, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. For me to stand here this morning and to go up and down the row, go up and down the row here, is there someone in here this morning from our own flock that's going to be one of these wolves, what he's talking about? You know, in prison, and Dwayne could tell you a lot more about this than I can, but in prison, the problems that they have internally and the problems that they have with all the contraband and the things that are in the prison, it's not so much because of the people that are on the outside that have nothing to do with prison that they're forcing this in, but it's because that somebody within the ranks, within the employment of the prison system, is bringing this stuff in. And I believe that's the same way, that's the same thing that can happen and does happen. That's so unfortunate in the church today. And that is that those, even within us, even among us, there are those here that might be wolves, but they got the sheep's clothing on. My goal here this morning, brothers and sisters, is to protect the sheep. To do all I can to take care of this flock. Even to the point that I'll be misread. Even maybe to the point that I'll be accused of being unfair or unloving. But I want to protect the flock. That's my desire this morning, brothers and sisters. Verse 31 says, so, be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each one of you, night and day, with tears. Paul's saying here that for 3 years straight, I preached this. Be careful. Watch out. Be on guard. Don't let yourself down. Don't go to sleep. Make sure someone's watching. Make sure someone's always at the gate. Then down in verse 32, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Here he was leaving. And what can he say? I mean, what is appropriate at a time when you're leaving your friends, these people that you've been around, and you look out amongst them and you know, I probably never will see most of these or maybe all of these faces again. He said, I commit you to God. I commit you to the word of his grace, which can build you up and to give you an inheritance. And I circle that word among. An inheritance among, or an inheritance with, all those who've been sanctified. As you keep on, as you continue on fleshing out the Word of God in your life by crucifying your own desires, even your own ways, your own things that the way I want it. But to give up for the cause of Christ, then it says, we will have an inheritance among those that are sanctified. First Peter 5:2. He says, be shepherds of God's flock. Again, how are we supposed to be shepherds? What do we have to go on? Psalms 23. Jesus' example in Scripture as he was here on this earth, as he led out. And Jesus was not a pushover. But he led. He did not drive. There's a story told of a tour guide in Israel. They're on the bus going through the countryside, and he was going through the whole story of what a shepherd does, how he treats his sheep. And as he had the people on the bus, as he had their attention to the story, he happened to glance out the bus windows and seen a flock of sheep. And here he's seen a man with those flock of sheep, but instead of being in front of the sheep, he was behind them. And he had a stick, and he was prodding him and poking him and chasing him and hitting him. And anger welled up inside of this tour guide. And they stopped the bus. He went over out to the field. And he was like, man, what are you doing? And as he went on to explain what his job was as a tour guide, he said, you're messing up my story. Because he was telling the people how a shepherd leads his sheep. And after he got done explaining what he was trying to do and asked this man what he's doing, the man just looked sort of bewildered. And he's like, I'm not a shepherd. I'm the butcher. These sheep are going for dog food in just a little while. This morning, I don't want to be a butcher. I don't want to drive, but I want to lead. I want to lead by example. And as it goes on here in 1 Peter 5, verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Notice what it says, under your care. He's not asking me to be shepherds of God's flock all the world over and to take care of all the Christians the world over, but those that are under my care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. And that's my desire, brothers and sisters, this morning. That I would serve, I would lead because I'm willing, not because I've been forced into this. Because I feel this is where God has called me to. Am I going to be here until I'm 80 years old? I don't know. But I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful to God as long as He calls me right where I'm at. He goes on to say, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. And that's what I want to be, is eager. I want to be excited to see how I can lead and how I can get each one of you excited about what God can do and will do and is doing in your life. And again, I'm okay with the fact that it's not always easy. I want to say that I'm okay with the fact that I'll be misunderstood by some of you sometimes. I will try to put out information to you as much as I deem appropriate without disparaging, putting anyone else down, but to protect other people's dignity. But there's times you're just going to have to trust, because you won't know all the details, and I won't even tell them because I feel it would be wrong to. And it's during those times that as leaders we're misunderstood. And that's what I want to be okay with. My commitment to y'all this morning is I want to lead, not drive. I want to comfort those of you that are in need of comfort. And I think as Brother Dwayne shared last Sunday, if your life is not vertically meeting up with what God is asking you to do, I don't want you to be comfortable. I don't want to make you comfortable. I want to make you squirm. I want to make you uneasy. But if you're living your life to the best of your ability and the way God is leading, I want to bless you in that. I want to give strength. I want to lift up your arms, as it were, so you can keep on going. That's what I feel God has called me to do, is to urge you on. Why do we go to all this bother? Why do we even deal with people? Because God, Jesus, He dealt with people. Jesus very much cared for people. But also, life without relationship is really no life at all. And what we have here this morning, brothers and sisters, we want to hang on to and we want to build on. Because relationship is such a vital thing. God made us that we crave relationship with others. But then what's the ultimate goal? Is it not that, like when you throw a stone in the water, it creates ripples, and so that in turn we can go out and we can care for others who in turn can go care for others who in turn can go care for others? Well, what's the point? Is it not that, number one, we can keep encouraging so that Satan could not come in and drag us down. But then the ultimate goal of someday having an eternity with Christ in heaven. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb at the center of their throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. God bless y'all as y'all continue to serve Him. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Our Father, our Shepherd, we thank You this morning for the example that You, Lord Jesus, have given to us. And You have likened us as sheep who want to be led. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one here this morning, that as they continue to want to know You more and more, that You would in turn shower upon them the blessings and the richness of Your inheritance. The inheritance that we have even while we're on this earth, dear Lord, and that is of having peace with our God. Dismiss us as we leave from here. Would You keep each one in Your care? For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.